honor you for all that you are and all that you mean. God, it is true that you have a blessing with our name on it. God, we give you praise and thanksgiving. Now, God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would think through my mind, speak through my vocal cord. God, let it be all of you, less of me. Let the people be eternally touched and blessed. And for that, we praise you in Jesus' name. And let no one's coming be in vain. Amen. Let the people say amen with me. Amen. Grab your Bibles in your hands. Amen. We're gonna go live right now. So we have been switching this so that we can kind of infiltrate your spirit with our vision. So repeat after me. This is my Bible. And I'm a part of Deliverance Temple. Where we love by living our vision every day. Our vision is broken down into the four C's. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. And we communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Now go ahead and put your hands together and make some noise. Glory to God. Amen. Title of the message today is frequency. Somebody say frequency. Frequency. Give you a definition and we'll try to explain it and work it the way God has given it to me. The number one definition that you'll find is the number of times something is repeated or the fact of something happening often. That is the frequency. If you go out to eat every Sunday after church, that is your frequency, something that's repeated. But number two says the number of times that a wave is produced within a particular period, especially within 1 second, i.e. sound waves. So sound waves, light waves, television waves, radio waves, they all have what they call a frequency. It's a scientific thing that is actually measured with the waves. If you're looking at the radio, there's something called FM and AM stations. Those are different frequencies. And when you tune in, if you tune into the correct frequency, you can hear what needs to be heard. I'll give you an example. If you want to hear WLBC, you'll never get to it on the frequency of 96.3 because WLBC is on 104.1. You have to get on that frequency to hear what they're saying. Now, if you don't want to hear what they're saying, don't tune into that frequency. But if you want to hear what is being said, tune in to that frequency. If you want to hear God clearly in this day and age, you have to be on his frequency. You can't do it your way. You can't talk about that's what mama said. That's what daddy said. The denomination said this. You got to tune into his frequency in order to hear what he has to say. Going to do a demonstration. We're going to put this picture up on the screen. This is something that took the internet by storm last week. It was Yanny and Laurel. And somebody might say, what in the world does that mean? What I want them to do, I want them to actually play this sound. Would you go ahead and play it?
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
All right, let's stop. What did you hear? If you heard Yanny, raise your hand. If you heard Laurel, raise your hand. Some people, what'd you hear?
Laurel.
You heard Laurel. What'd you hear over there? You heard Laurel. I've heard Laurel the most time, but when they just played it right then, I heard Yanny. And it's interesting what they said scientifically. It caught the internet by storm because actually someone looked up the word Laurel in the dictionary. And the new dictionaries, if you look online, they have a little speaker where you can play the thing. So it was played and somebody recorded it and sent it to someone else. But when it was sent to someone else, they heard it in a different frequency. And so two people can hear different things even though only one sound is being played. Play it again.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
All right, stop. Now, if you heard Yanny, lift your hand if you hear Yanny. If you hear Laurel, lift your hand. We're not playing any games with you. It's the same signal being sent. But here's the thing. We hear on different frequencies. Yanny is on a different frequency than Laurel. So if you hear on lower frequencies, you'll hear Laurel. If you hear on higher frequencies, you'll hear Yanny, but only one word is being said. Wow. Now, what does this have to do with the scripture, Andre? Let's go to Revelations 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's found in Revelation 2:7, but I have 14 down in that corner because this phrase is said 14 times through the scriptures, 7 times in the Gospels and 7 times in Revelation. And the only person to ever say this in the Bible is Jesus. It's only his words. And he makes the statement, he who has an ear. It's a funny statement because we all have ears, but that's not what he was saying. He was saying he who has this frequency of the Spirit can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's why you can come to the house of God, hear a message. One person is excited and the other person goes and leaves unchanged because they're hearing on different frequencies. It's time that you get the frequency of the Spirit of God. It's time you get the frequency of the things of God. You can't wait till Sunday morning to hear God. You got to press into the frequency of God. You got to learn how to hear God as if it costs your life. Job said it this way. He said, God, I love you more than my necessary food. I love you more than a Happy Meal and a Big Mac with extra sauce. I love you more than a medium well ribeye with potatoes on the side. I need you more than that because that sustains my life. But the frequency I'm on, the only thing I need is the Word of God. Now, having said that, today is a very interesting day. Put this up for us. Today marks something interesting in the Spirit. Today is actually Pentecost Sunday. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday is this. It is actually 50 days after the resurrection. For us, 50 days after Easter. Don't even seem like we've been 50 days after Easter, but it's 50 days after Easter. And what happened was after Jesus resurrected, he stayed in the earth for 40 days. And he began to show himself and he began to tell the disciples what they needed to do. And he gave them one instruction. He said, I want you to go to the upper room and I want you to tarry there. And I want you to wait till you get some power. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15:6, which I don't have on the screen. And the reason why I didn't put it on the screen because scholars believe different things about it. But I will throw out one idea that scholars think. 1 Corinthians 15:6. The Bible says that Jesus appeared to as many as 500 people at one time after his resurrection. But when you get over into Acts, only 120 showed up in the upper room. That means 380 people did something else. Now, we don't know if they had reasons to do something else. And some scholars believe because of where they were located, they had reasons. But it's hard for me to understand that as 500 people saw him, only 120 were on the frequency to wait for the Spirit. Just because you're in a big crowd don't mean everybody's hearing what the Spirit is saying. Just because you're around a bunch of Christians all day don't mean you're hearing what the Spirit is saying. But there were 120 that went to the upper room and they waited on God.
They weren't told how long to wait. They weren't told when he would come. They just said, wait till you get the power. A lot of us, we feel like our Hickam Messiah is enough power. So as long as I got my little phony tongues, and as long as I tithe every now and then and come to Deliverance Temple every now and then and cry every now and then, it's okay. But there's other folk in the church saying, God, I want your power. I'm not doing this for Sunday morning, but when the music fades and the lights are turned off and the church is locked up, God, I still need your power in my life. I don't want to be like the other 380. And yes, maybe they had very good reasons. But if there's a chance that I can wait for you and get another level of your glory, another taste of your anointing, another touch of your power, God, I want what you have for me. I'm not here to impress the pastor. I'm not here to impress the bishop. I'm not even here to impress the person on my roll. God, I want your power. Because babies are being shot up in schools. God, I want your power. Cities are being run over by drug addiction. God, I want your power. Girls are being trafficked for sex. God, I want your power. Not so they can say, oh, pastor, you are anointed. No, I don't want it for me. I want it to make a difference. I want it to hear a testimony like I heard today, which I had never heard before, about somebody being shot and could have been counted out. But at the age of 41, they're getting a degree, because I want power to know that God can turn anything around. I want power so those kind of testimonies can keep coming and we can keep hearing what God has been doing. I want power so I can preach the captive free. I want power so I can preach deliverance. I want power. But I got to get his frequency. And I have to frequently get his frequency. So sometimes that means I have to frequently not do what everybody else does. I'm not opposed to Christians drinking. As long as you don't get drunk and act a fool. The Bible doesn't tell me you can't drink. But I don't have time to be in the club. I don't have time to be getting a cocktail every day. I don't have time to be worrying about the margaritas on sale every day. I'm not saying you can't do it every now and then. But I want some power. Liquor can't give me the power that I'm looking for. Drugs can't give me the power I'm looking for. Sex can't give me the power I'm looking for. I want some Pentecostal Holy Ghost power. Where demons tremble, power. Where sicknesses die, power. I love the new church. I love it how new pastors, you don't have to preach in a suit. You can preach in jeans with holes in them. I like how the praise team, you ain't got to be all dolled up. You can just come how you are. But I miss some of the old anointing of the old church. We had some of the wrong rules, but we had some power. If a demon dare came up in the church, he was going to get cast out because we had some power. I want power back in the house of God. But what that means is we got to get on the frequency of the Spirit of God. So having said that, let's talk about the Pentecostal story. And let's see what we can learn from what happened in Acts chapter 2. Because the Bible says that the latter rain and the former rain shall come again. And so this was the beginning of the church. So we got to realize we got to get back to that place. Somebody say, I got to get back there, God. I got to get back there. Let me pause just real quick. If we think about the ramifications of what really happened, their major, major leader, they had never seen a leader like that before. Jesus himself, the Son of God, walking the face of the earth, and they were privy to see him and watch what he said and watch what he did. They saw the miracles, and then next thing you know, he's gone and he's dead. In 3 days, they're wrestling with, I thought he was the one, but he's gone. And then the third day, he rises again. And he begins to move and show them. And it changed them. But here's the thing. After he left again, they were under heavy scrutiny and heavy persecution. And they could have been killed. They could, if you look at the Acts and read, they could have been killed, but they kept on pressing. And the church grew, but it grew through persecution. It grew through lies. They said that they stole Jesus' body. That's where they couldn't find it. They went through all kinds of stuff to where we are today. And us American lazy Christians, because we have freedom to worship whenever we want. We're not like China, where if we want to have church, we got to go underground and we got to smuggle Bibles. We got Bibles on our phone, and we're some of the laziest Christians that the world has ever seen. We're just in a routine. It's not real to us. But I want some Holy Ghost power to hit you in your house and hit you on your job and hit you in your car till you realize this thing is real. The old mothers used to say, real, real. Jesus is real to me. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so, because he's so real to me. He's real on Monday. He's real on Tuesday. He's real on Wednesday. He's real when you're sick, and he's real when you're healthy. He's real when you're broke, and he's real when you're wealthy. He's real. I don't want a superficial Holy Ghost. I want the real power of God. Bring us back, God, to the power that the church used to have. Bring us back to the place that when they left the church, when they left the synagogue, they would meet in houses and talk about the goodness of the Lord. You shouldn't wait till Sunday to testify. You ought to be telling somebody what God has done in your life. Walking in the grocery store, God been good to me. Folk looking at you, God been good to me. You ought to tell of the goodness of the Lord. People ought to feel something when they get around you. Bible says of Elizabeth that when Mary spoke to her about what the Spirit had told her, that John the Baptist leaped in her womb. When you come into somebody's presence, their womb ought to leap and say, I don't know who was that and who was that, because something about them makes me jump. It's, I don't know Sister Ruthie, but there's something about her that makes me jump down in my spirit. I don't know Mother Rankin, but there's something about Mother Rankin. The moment I get next to her, something jumps in my spirit. Some of y'all folks, stuff jumps in their spirit because you're full of demons, but that's another story. Hopefully we get you delivered this morning. Acts 2 and 1. Now, Bishop and elect lady, they're in Washington, D.C., and then they will be in Dallas next week, so I'll be doing my reading this week and next week. Acts 2:1 says this: when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. The first point of this Pentecost frequency, it was they were on the frequency of unity. One of the hardest things to see in the church is a true move of unity. The scripture says they were all together in one place. It wasn't just talking about their location, because it spoke of their location next. It says in one place, but you can be in one place and not be together. Ask a married couple, you can lay in the same bed and still not be together. So it's not about location, it's about a mindset that I will humble myself to come together, because it's not about me. I can't stand a church person that thinks it's all about them. And will leave your church if they show up late and somebody sits in their seat. But your name is not on the seat. Are you more important, or is unity more important? Brother JB is going to help us. I want you just hit keys, just single keys. What key is that? C sharp. Give me another key. What's that? B flat. Give me another key. C sharp, B flat, C. Sounds good. How about you give me a C chord? That sound, do that again. That sounded a little diff. Do it again. Give me another chord. C sharp. Now put two chords together. Ah, look at the beauty of that. Now just play two single keys together. That sounds nice, but put the chord together. Not just randomly, just play. What makes music so special is that the keys come together and they make a chord, and the chord makes a sound. When this pew mate comes together with this pew mate and comes together with this pew mate, we make a sound. When we all get together, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Oh, hallelujah. How about you praise God right there? Glory. That's good. Let me go to the next verse, Acts 2 and 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound. When they came together, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Now, often I would read that and I would picture the wind filling the house, but the Bible didn't say it was a wind. It says it was a sound. And the sound was like a wind, but it wasn't a wind. It was a sound, and the sound filled the house. When the sound of the saints fills the house, guess whose ears bleed first? Satan's ears. When we produce a sound together and the sound filled the house. Give you an example. There's been times I come here in the church by myself and I'm doing different things. And even though I'm by myself, I hear a sound. I can just sing by myself in here, but I don't feel like I'm singing by myself because the angels encamp around this place. And there is a sound. And when we come, here's the thing. If I can do that by myself, and Sister Belinda and Brother Donald and Brother Ronte, that when they come, they pray throughout the week. And it's only just three of them, but there's a sound created when they pray. If it can happen with one person, and it can happen with three people, when we all come on a Sunday morning, we ought to be pulling down strongholds. We ought to be breaking down demonic spirits with our sound. But let me say this. Those who are coming throughout the week, they're making an extra sacrifice to come. Those who come on Sunday, sometimes we just come late. We come like we don't care, and we don't have the right sound. The devil ain't afraid of Deliverance Temple sometime, because he know only a few of us gonna take it serious. The other of us, yeah, you know, it's whatever. Keep thinking it's whatever if you want to. We're trying to create a sound that will pierce the darkness of this city. This city needs to change, and God has brought us as the solution. But like I told you a couple of months ago, we got to be serious and dedicated. Don't be just willy-nilly coming in here. I'm not saying you can't be late every now and then. I'm talking about an attitude that this does not matter. If it doesn't matter, do us all a favor and stay home. Somebody say, Pastor, you ain't all you said was a word. I will stay home. I'm not trying to run people away, but I want people who want it. I want people who understand. Do you understand who we are? We are Deliverance Temple. And what that means is if you stay in this temple, whatever that is holding on to you that doesn't belong to you, it's got to let you go. That's why the devil fight people from coming, but the ones who come get serious. So so we can create a sound. A sound where on about Tuesdays, Monday I try to take the day off. About Tuesday I'm working on the next sermon. I want a sound to where God says, prepare nothing. Don't prepare anything to preach. Don't prepare any praise songs. Because the moment when y'all get there, a sound will be created. Where the captives will be set free. But it takes serious folk. It takes folk not playing the church game. It takes serious people. And it's not all our fault. We've been desensitized. We've seen another school shooting, but we're desensitized to school shootings because it happens all the time. You got to say, God, I want my frequency to come where I start seeing things the way you see it. And I feel things the way you feel it. I don't just walk by trouble and it doesn't bother me. And I don't pray and I don't fast and I don't go for God. I want a church where people go for God. When's the last time I put you on a fast? I haven't, because as long as I've got to tell you when to fast, I got the wrong people in my church. Every Sunday morning, for about 7 years now, I fast every Sunday morning. When I get up, I don't eat anything until service is over, because I'm trying to create a sound. It's not that I have to do that, but I want the anointing of God to be here. I don't want you to hear Andre. But I don't want to be the only person who has a spirit to fast. I'm not going to tell you when to fast. I won't tell you how to fast. But we got to create a sound. Somebody say a sound. Number two. This is what we're looking for. The sound of heaven. It's really the sound of heaven touching earth. It's where earth and heaven meet. It's where there's some stuff in earth you cannot get done by yourself. But in the heavenly realm, it's already done. We need heaven to come to earth. In heaven, I'm already healed. But on the earth, my body is racking with pain. So I need a sound that'll bring heaven to earth. That way, when I step in the church, I get healed without anybody ever praying over me. Because the sound of heaven is here. Somebody say the sound of heaven. Acts 2 and 3 says this. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them. And rested on each one of them. You know anything about the scripture? It looks like it said cloven or split tongues that looked like fire begin to rest over the head. In other words, they actually physically saw something in the supernatural realm. Number three, we're going to put this up. This frequency or this sound, it brings the correction for confusion. Why would you say that? Because in Genesis chapter 11, at the Tower of Babel, because they were coming up to God the wrong way, he said, I got to confuse the language. But in the day of Pentecost, he brought the language back together because it's a sound. Bishop always talks about it. The word hallelujah is a universal word. Means the same thing in every language because there's a sound that moves beyond languages. It's a sound. And one thing I've known, anointing travels. But I've been able to go to Haiti. When I went to Haiti, I only had one translator. All the other people, they spoke Creole, which is a mix of French. It's kind of like a ghetto French. And so I didn't know what they were talking about. But they recognized the anointing on my life. Before I spoke, they honored who I was because the sound transcended the language. When I went to Africa, even though a lot of them knew English, they speak 11 different languages in South Africa. But my anointing translated everything because there is a sound that cancels all confusion. If there's confusion on your job, you need a frequency. You need a sound that'll turn darkness into light that says, let there be light. There was light. Remember telling you about some years ago about having a boss that was real hard, real rough. Me and him clashed. Me and him get along well because a sound was set. And he's got to respect who I am. He's just the nicest boss ever. It took them a while to get that way, but there was some prayer pressure put on it. I don't know what's going on in your life that's mixed up and that's wrong and that ain't right, but when you get the right sound, every knee must bow. And every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. I know you're broke right now, but debt has to bow. Poverty has to bow. Sugar diabetes has to bow, because there's a sound that will correct any confusion.
Amen. All sickness really is confusion. It is the opposite of ease. It is dis-ease. Disease is the opposite of ease. It is confusion, but there's a sound that can correct confusion. What kind of church would it be where you bump into somebody who's sick and you got to say, well, wait till I get a hold of my pastor so he can come see you? What kind of church would it be where you can't administer and you can't help and you can't at least step out in your faith and declare, Satan, the Lord rebuke you? I want a sound in this place where you don't look to me. You know I have power just like Pastor Andre has power. We might be in different positions, but we have the same power because we serve the same God. And we're operating on the same frequency.
Amen. I feel good in this Holy Ghost sanctified church.
Acts 2 and 4, what happened next? Something we don't talk about often. This is what happened next. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, in this church, you may hear people speaking in tongues, but one thing I've learned about church folk, folk can speak in tongues and not be filled. They feel, but you don't always know what they filled with. Sometimes, to be honest, they're filled with gibberish because their tongues have no power. But this is, they were filled in such a way that something came forth out of them that was unique to them. You need to be filled not just in words that no one can understand, but you need to be filled with stuff where you prophesy to the wind and you prophesy to yourself and you speak your way healthy and you speak your way holy and you look at trouble and say, it will not stop me because I'm filled. You can take a boat all day long, even the Titanic. The Titanic, nothing was wrong with the Titanic, except for when it hit what it hit, water got in the Titanic. And when it got filled, it sank. I want to sink in God. I want to hit God in such a way it wrecks my life. And I'm filled with God. And I sink with God. And when you see me, you don't see Andre. You see God because I'm filled. This water bottle is filled with water. If it was empty, you can know it just by looking at it that it's empty. And I hate to tell you, you got Christian over your head. You got Christian over your door. You got Christian bumper stickers. But I can look at you and tell you empty. But it's okay, because anything empty still can be filled. Fill me up, Lord. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, fill it up, and make me whole. I want y'all to come in here drunk. Drunk with the Holy Ghost. I want you to come in here where you can't hardly sit still. Where you're moving. You're not trying to be seen. You're not trying to take attention, but there's something down on the inside of you that won't let you sit still. You're on another frequency, filled with the Holy Ghost and with a mighty burning fire. Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. Feel, feel, feel. Filled. In order to get filled, you have to be empty. See, I just said some of y'all are empty, but you're in a good place. Some of us are still full, but we're full with a bunch of junk.
oh, I ain't talking about pornography and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about anxiety, worry, panic, stress. You got to say, God, let me go of all that so I can be filled with you. The Bible says, cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. So he can fill you up. All right, I got to keep moving. Let's go to point number four, which is the filling of the Spirit. Somebody say, I need the filling of the Spirit. Here's the thing. Right now, gas is sky high. But this filling, it don't cost you. You don't have to pull out your credit card. Well, let me say it. It don't cost you financially, but it will cost you something to be filled. It's free, but it costs. You can't be with everybody and be filled and stay filled. There are some people that drain your battery. There's some people that suck you dry. And you got to learn how to say, I love you, but let me love you from a distance. And I'm working on being filled. Now, when I get filled to overflowing, I can connect back with you. And maybe what I got on me can get on you. But right now, I got to get filled. Fill me, Lord. Look at verse 2 and 5 says this. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And this is interesting. If you know anything about the Jewish law, when certain feasts came, people were supposed to travel to Jerusalem to partake in the feast. So no matter where they were, they were supposed to come back for that time. Kind of like what we have back to Muncie. They come back for that specific feast. And so that's what happened. There were a lot of people in other nations that came back, but they were Jews from their birth. Verse 6. And at this sound, or at this frequency, the multitude came together. Here's the thing. We've been talking about every seat being filled, but it says that first they came together and produced a sound. And then the sound brought the multitude. Folk will never come to this church until we first get together and produce the sound. But when you produce a sound, it draws people. It draws people with heroin needles in their veins. And they wake up one day and say, I'm going to church. I ain't been to church in a long time, but I'm coming. And they may smell bad. They may look bad. They may still be high. But we produce a sound that brought the multitudes in. I don't care how many flyers we send out. I don't care how many times you invite somebody. Until we come together and produce a sound, the multitudes will never come. But they came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. When they were speaking in tongues, they weren't just saying gibberish. They were actually speaking languages that these people understood. Now, I don't have time to explain it, but if you go to 1 Corinthians 14, it tells you all you need to know about tongues. It tells you the difference between tongues to angels and actual tongues, actual languages. And sometimes God doesn't want you just speaking something that is unknown that needs to be interpreted. God wants you to speak languages that other people can hear and understand. Number 5, the attention of the community. So it brought the multitude, but when they heard what was being spoken, when they heard the sound, it grabbed their attention. You can do gimmicks to get people's attention. You can try events to get people's attention. You can give food away to get people's attention. You can have block parties to get people's attention. But to keep people's attention, you got to have a sound. You have to have an anointing. You have to have some power. We're not there yet, but this is what we're working on. We're working on it such a way that people wake up thinking about this church. Wake up wanting to give to the ministry. We've got people who hear our messages around the globe and they already are looking toward us because we're creating a sound, but we got more to go. We got to keep pushing. We got to keep breaking. It's not just about Deliverance Temple. It's about the move of God. It's about the Spirit of God coming back to the church. It's about revival coming back to the people, because what we're learning is everything is messed up. Economy's messed up. Politics is messed up. School system messed up. The only hope left is the church. We're the only hope left of the world. And God is trying to say, wake up, wake up, wake up, so we can move and we can move these communities and we can touch people. Because there are people who are doing things, they're doing them because they're broken at heart. We got people in sin, but the sin is not because they're wicked. It's because they're weak and they're broken. And they don't know how to change. I talked to a person who's homosexual. And me and him are very good friends. Became very good friends. And he told me, he said, when I die, I want you to preach my funeral. Because you showed me nothing but love. But that's all I know. All I know to show is love. I learned that from my dad. So I just showed him love. But then he said something to me. He said, I know I am who I am, and I try to wear who I am proudly. He said, but between me and you, I don't want to be this way. I didn't choose this for myself. I was molested, and it put something on me, and it changed how I acted from then on. I wish I was different, but I'm trying to embrace who I am. In other words, what he's saying, I'm not wicked, I'm just broken. And we need a sound that makes the broken people still feel healed. My sexuality may never change, but I need a place where I can come and worship and still feel the love of God. I may be messed up at heart, but I want a place where people will love me. I may have some stuff in my past where I can't be around the kids in the church, but I still want to come to the house of God and find a place where I can feel the love of God. And the reason why we talk about communicate Christ's love, because that gets attention. Because what the world needs now is love. The bishop from Chicago stood up at the royal wedding and began to talk about the love of God. Because there's one message, there's one sound, there's one frequency, and it's the love of God living our vision every day. Grab the attention of the community. Let's go to verses 7. I'm going to read 7, 8. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Verse 8, and how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. Verse 10. Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, or someplace Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. Now, when you get to Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, it's talking about Africa. It's talking about dark, dark folk. They came, and they came, and they heard the power of God. It's time not just for the church, but it's time for the black church to rise. I thank God for all the churches. But there's something unique about people who have suffered and have still held on to God. And it's time for us to be on display. And if you watch it, it is happening. When you go back to the royal wedding, Meghan Markle, who was the princess who just got married just yesterday, she was half black. And her mother was there. And they had a black preacher. And they had a black crier. In England, in a place where they don't do that kind of stuff. But God is saying it's time to shine, oh barren woman. It's time to rise and be put on Front Street. But let me stop and say this. If it's time to shine, but you're not ready, you're the fool. If the door swings open and you're not ready, you're the fool. God is trying to open up doors and opportunities for you, and I'm trying to get you ready. I'm trying to preach to your mind, to elevate your mind, so you'll be excellent in spirit and you can step in it when the opportunity comes. But some of y'all, the opportunity is going to come and go because you waste too much time. And it's not always your fault. You just look and say, it's been too long. God's not going to bless me. He's not going to turn it around for me. But I'm here to let you know, keep believing. I feel it like I've never felt it in my life. Keep believing. Somebody going to walk into a $1 million business and don't even know how they got there. Keep believing. Keep pressing. Keep hoping, because God is doing something. Not just for African Americans, but he's taking all kinds of people and moving people into position. He's elevating women. He's doing all kinds of stuff. Because a sound is being created. And what the sound is saying, me too. It's my time. Remember, I used to always tell y'all about me too, but now me too has switched to people who talk about that they have been abused and misused. But all the abused and misused, it's time for them to rise. I need to do something real quick. Brother Melvin, would you come? Brother Will, would you come? And Brother Ronte, Brother Doug. Just come and stand. And just like y'all, stand single file and look that way. Now, this is life for some of us. Here I am bringing up the rear. I'm last. Walk, everybody take a step. Guess who's still in behind? Everybody take another step. But the Bible says the last shall be first. Everybody turn, make a turn. I was last a few minutes ago, but when God turned it around, I'm now in the front. That's enough. God gonna turn it around. God gonna turn it around. It only takes God a little minute to turn it around. Somebody say, turn it around, God. Turn it around, God. Turn it around, God. I was at the back, but God has turned it around. Late in the midnight hour, God will turn it around. Why don't you high five somebody and say, turn it around, God, turn it around. Come on, let's drop down to verse 11. I got a few more minutes. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Here's the thing. When God fills you, you only have one thing to talk about. The mighty works of God. Yes, I got trouble, but I don't have time to talk about trouble. Yes, I got some sin in my life, but I don't have time to talk about the sin in my life. I only have one message, one sound, one frequency. It's the mighty works of God. It's God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. When my loved one died, God is still good. When I lost the baby, God was still good. When I lost the job, God was still good. And he can still turn it around. Verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Number 6, what this brings, it brings the curiosity of the community. Makes them curious. What's going on at that church? What's going on with those people? Because this has to be the work of the Lord. But let's look at verse 13. But others, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. I said, these folks just drunk. Some people going to believe you. Some people going to roll with you. And some folks is still going to mock you. I don't believe it. I don't think Kay got nothing. I don't care what you say. I think Kay, I don't believe it. Well, let's look at what number 7 says. The frequency and the sound of Pentecost, it also brings the voice of the haters. Now, if I was to put this into 2018 in a single picture, everybody's not going to get it, but some people are going to get it. If I can put it in just one picture, put the picture up. Somebody may get that. Let me give you just a quick backstory. There, out in Oakland, California, there were a couple of black people in a park cooking barbecue in a charcoal. And this lady came and got offended and got on the phone to call the police about people barbecuing in a park. How jacked up in your spirit do you have to be worrying about what somebody else is doing? And so here she is, got on the phone and dialed 911 to get these people to stop barbecuing. And in the power of the internet, she has been the laughing stock for the whole last week. Because there are some people that the voice of the hater is going to get laughed at. You lied on me, but I don't have to even raise my voice. I don't even have to attack you. I don't have to put nothing on Facebook. All I got to do is keep living, and folk going to see you're the foolish one because I got something down in my spirit. I don't know who's calling the religious police on you. They too loud in church. They dance too much. They give too much. They cry too much. They holler too much. But let them talk. Let them call the police. But I serve the God that is Jehovah Jireh. I serve the God that is a provider. And he will. He will. He will. Turn it around. He will. Because I got the sound. I got the sound. Verse 14. It always takes one. But Peter. Cutting ear off Peter. Cussing Peter. Now we have to understand this is only 50 days after the resurrection. Peter denied the Lord 3 days before that, before he went to the cross. So 53 days later, we see a totally different Peter. It don't always take a year for God to deliver somebody. It don't always take 12 steps. For Peter, it only took 53 days. And what I like about Peter, because Jesus spent some time with Peter after he resurrected, but Peter went to the upper room and prayed. I know I got some cussing in me, but I'm still coming to pray. I know I got some anger in me, but I'm coming to the house of God. I don't know when I'm going to get delivered. I don't know how I'm going to get delivered. But one thing I know, I'm not going to get delivered staying at home drinking Bud Light. I'm coming to the house of God. I'm coming till I get my change. I'm coming till God delivers me all the way up. One thing I won't do, I will not stop coming. But not only did he come, Peter, God gave him a message because Peter was bold. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. 15, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, which means it's only 9 a.m. 2:16, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Number 8, put it up. It is the fulfillment of prophecy. There's some stuff that's going to happen in your life that has nothing to do with you, but it was prophesied over your life. You can't help but achieve. You can't help but get degrees. You can't help but get new jobs. You can't help but be blessed because it was prophesied over your life. And every time I preach, I'm prophesying over your life. We're going to read these last verses, and this is where we're closing from. It's right now, 1 o'clock, Acts 2:17. And in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Peter was quoting directly from the prophet Joel. Verse 18 says this, even on my male servants and female servants. Like I preached to you last week in Mother's Day, women, it's your time too. In those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Verse 21, this is what we're working on. This is the sound that we're pushing forth. Read it. It says this, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say they all got to walk down the aisle. They all have to say the sinner's prayer the way we want them to say it. But we can produce such a sound that when people come in here, they call on the name of the Lord, and God guarantees they shall be saved. There's some loved ones you have that don't live in this city. They shall be saved. Because you're going to produce a sound that's going to make them call on the Lord. Here's one thing that's going to happen. When God blesses you in such a way, people are going to know it wasn't you. They're going to know it had to be God. They're going to look at you and call on God. And God says, when they call on me, I'll save them too. You are going to be delivering people because you are deliverance temple. Next verse or next thing, and then this is where we close from. Number nine, this sound, this frequency, what it produces is the salvation of the community. Not just your church, not just your family, but your community. Come on, let's stand up to our feet. How many want to get on this frequency? I'm going to beg of you again. I'm going to implore of you again. Get serious.